Elijah steps forth upon the page of Scripture as a man in faithful obedience to the Lord. He was sent by God to deliver the Lord's message to King Ahab. It was a message of divine displeasure, informing the king that the drought that had already been 6 months in duration would extend into years, that it would not cease any time soon. The Lord says here in chapter 17 and verse 1, the Lord tells Elijah to go, and he stands before the king and he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years." He doesn't tell him exactly how long this drought will last, but he does inform him that it's not going to end soon. It has been in duration for 6 months, but it's going to last for years. It was a divine judgment for the nation's departure from the Lord that had been headed up by King Ahab. As soon as Elijah had fulfilled his duty, the Lord directs him to Cherith, the brook Cherith, which was near the River Jordan in the region of Jericho. And you'll notice something that is very instructive here for us as believers. You'll notice how the Lord gives to Elijah guidance and direction, but only after he has fulfilled the previous guidance. It's only when he obeys the Lord in the first instance that the Lord then continues to give him further guidance. And so it is for us. God's will is only revealed to us as we obey what he has already revealed to us. Having delivered the message to the king, Elijah is given a very strange instruction. The Lord tells him to go run high, flee into a place apart, a place of solitude. Verse 3, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." Now that's very interesting because it opens up a subject that's not often considered. The subject of the times when God tells his church to go into hiding. When God instructs his people to flee. For that's exactly what he did here in the case of Elijah. And now he's brought to Cherith, which was the place of the Lord's leading. And the place of the Lord's leading will always become the place of the Lord's learning. The place where the believer learns from the Lord. And it was in this hiding place, this place of solitude, this place of secrecy, this place apart, that the Lord begins to instruct Elijah and teach him things, lessons that are relevant right to this very hour. And I want just for a few moments to lift out some of those things that the Lord taught him. You'll notice that in this leading, the Lord was instructing him to disassociate from the religious establishment of the day. Verse 3 begins with these words, "Get thee hence." Get thee hence. Now remember, he's just come face to face with Ahab. He has stood in the presence of the king, the man responsible for promoting false religion, for promoting idolatry, for despising God's word and dishonoring God's name. He has been in the presence of the king, delivering a message from the Lord, and the Lord says to him now, "Get thee hence," literally, "get away from here. Get away from here." And the Lord is teaching Elijah, you have no place, you have no part here with all that this royal household represents. You have no part with it. No association with false religion. And I believe that's a lesson that needs to be reiterated today. It's something that we need to remind ourselves of continually. While we live in this world, and from time to time, we will come face to face with the ungodly and with the representatives of false religion, yet as believers in the Lord Jesus, we are not to associate in a religious sense with that which is contrary to God. Now, there are times when the Lord says to his people, take these things hence. You remember the Lord said that when he came to the temple and he found in the temple, the house of God, things that were not commanded, things that were not allowed, were not permitted. And the Lord said to them, take these things hence. They had made the house of God and house of merchandise. And sometimes the Lord has to say, take these things hence. Take them out from here. It is a purging work that is needed. But on this occasion, the instruction is altogether different. It's not the house of God that's in view. It's the house of idolatry. It is the representative of false religion. And God's command is this: get thee hence. Get thee hence. In other words, you have no place here. You have no part here. That's a command that needs to be reiterated afresh. Even in our own land, when there are rumblings and murmurings about engaging with false religion, with Romanism. And this talk is going on among people who profess to be Christians, who profess to be evangelicals. The Lord is saying, get thee hence. You must not associate with that which is contrary to God, which brings only the displeasure of God, and idolatry. Idolatry brings God's displeasure. Get thee hence. But I want you to notice secondly here that this command, this leading from the Lord, was a sign of displeasure. It was a sign of displeasure. The Lord said to Elijah, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Now stop and think about that. Elijah's removal to the brook Cherith was in essence his withdrawal from the nation. Turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. And I want you to find here in this chapter the verse 49, because in this verse we have the same word that the Lord used when he was speaking to Elijah. And in 1 Kings it is translated as the word hide. But in this verse there is a different English translation given. Verse 49, and Mizpah, for he said... We're not looking at the context, just the verse. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. Do you see the word absent? It is the translation of the same Hebrew word that God used when he was instructing Elijah to hide himself. The Lord is saying to him, you are to absence yourself. You are to be absent. God was removing Elijah to this hiding place as the prophet of the Lord, as the spokesman of God, and that in itself was a sign of displeasure. The voice of God was being veiled. It was being silenced. It was being removed when God was removing Elijah. There is no surer nor more solemn proof that God is hiding his face from a nation than when he deprives that nation of faithful ministers of his word. George Whitefield, the great revival preacher, said, "As God can send a nation or people no greater blessing than to give them faithful, sincere, and upright ministers, so the greatest curse that God can possibly send upon a people in the world is to give them over to blind, unregenerate, carnal, lukewarm, and unskillful guides." That's what the Lord was doing in Elijah's day. When God said, "Hide thyself," it was a sign of God's displeasure, removing the spokesman of God, the prophet of God, giving the nation over to unskillful guides, the prophets of Baal. Faithful ministers are God's gift, but when they are removed, it is a sign of God's displeasure. Jeremiah chapter 3. In the verse number 15, the Lord says there, "I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." They are the gift of God. And the Lord raises up men in a nation who are skilled in handling the word of God and communicating the truth of the gospel. It is an evidence of divine mercy. It is an evidence of God's blessing. But when the Lord removes such, it is a sign of displeasure. Psalm 74, verse number 9. The psalmist laments. He sees a great forsaking in the land. And he says in verse 9, "We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long." Men who have understanding of the times, men who know God, who know God's word, who know God's purpose, when God withdraws them, it is a sign of displeasure. But I want you to notice in the third place that this guidance from the Lord to hide at the brook Cherith was also a means of preservation. Hide thyself. The instruction the Lord gave to Elijah had within it the purpose of protecting and thereby preserving Elijah from the fury of his enemies. Now, his message to the king didn't change the king. There's going to be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word, didn't change the king. Didn't subdue his heart. Didn't fill him with penitence. No, he became more infuriated. And his wife, together with his wife, they engaged in a policy of persecution against the Lord's servants. You look at chapter 18 of 1 Kings and verse number 4. We are informed there that Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. And when she had cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. There was a campaign of persecution against those who preached God's truth. Verse 10 of that chapter, "As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." This is the servant speaking to Elijah. "And when they said, 'He is not here,' he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not." And the servant is now telling Elijah that King Ahab has sent his messenger, sent his servants to all the surrounding nations in search of Elijah. He sought high and low. So enraged, so infuriated was the king that he wanted to kill Elijah. His faithfulness put his life in danger. And now the Lord says to Elijah, Elijah, it's time to hide yourself. Until this storm is passed over. Time to run, time to flee. Now there are times in the history of the church and in the witness of the church when the call of God is a call that requires courage. But there are other times when that call is a call to wisdom. You remember Paul, or Saul as he was known, in Acts chapter 9, when he was converted on the Damascus Road, he came into Damascus. He was there with Ananias. He preached in the synagogue. He confounded the Jews. Verse 23 of that chapter 9 of Acts says, after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the bat, by the wall, in a basket. It was time to hide. Time to flee. There are times when God's command to the church is not to stand up and face the enemy, but rather to hide for the preservation of the cause of truth. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 26, you'll find this has been the instruction that God has given on a number of occasions. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20, the Lord says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. There are times when the call is to hide. Psalm 57 and verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. God's judgment is upon a nation. He withdraws his faithful servants. Those judgments do not change the hearts of the ungodly. They infuriate them all the more. And God's command is, hide. Hide. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. This is a prophetical chapter. I don't want to get into the prophetical implications. I believe that it had reference to the people that were then living when they heard the Lord speak. I believe it had reference to AD 70. I believe it also has reference to the end of this age. The Lord is speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And in verse number 16, he says to his disciples, verse 15, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And when you read the history of the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, when the Roman armies came and surrounded the city and destroyed the city, destroyed the temple. The remarkable thing is this, that there were very few, if any, Christians who perished in that slaughter. The reason being, when they saw the army surrounding the city, they remembered what the Lord said, and they fled. They went into hiding in the mountains. of Judea. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. And here the picture is of the church in its general setting in this world. While the Lord tarries, and it is the object of satanic hatred and persecution. We read there of the revolt of the devil. Verse 6, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. You come down to verse number 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." This is symbolical language. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." There are times when God's command is high. Withdraw. And that is not a sign of defeat. It is an act of wisdom that will safeguard the longevity and the preservation of the testimony of the gospel. The sad thing is that very often this particular aspect of God's guidance is overlooked. It's looked upon as weakness instead of wisdom. In the day of Jeremiah, Jeremiah told them the armies of Babylon are coming. They're going to take over the city. And Jeremiah said, "Submit to them. Serve the king of Babylon and you'll live." But the false prophets stood up against Jeremiah and said, "You're a traitor. You fall away to the Babylonians. We will stand up against them. We will resist them." That's exactly what they did. And all it did was to bring even greater wrath of the Babylonians upon them and the full destruction of Jerusalem. If only they had listened to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a man in touch with God. He had the ear of God. He knew what God's instruction was. There are times when the Lord says, "Hide. Flee. For the preservation of the cause of truth." And that's exactly what Elijah did on this occasion. Oh yes, there would be a time of confrontation later when he would stand on the mountaintop and contend with the prophets of Baal. But if he hadn't have fled, and if he hadn't have hid when God told him to, there wouldn't have been that open confrontation later on. It was a means of preservation. And for Elijah, it became an opportunity for learning. Cherith was a lonely place, a solitary place. But God brought him here in order to teach him some valuable lessons. And what lessons he discovered personally. He discovered the faithfulness of God in this place of fleeing, this place of hiding. And always remember, when the Lord's purpose is for the church to hide, it's not a time of inactivity. It's not a time of going back. This was a time of learning. The Lord said to Elijah, "Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And God promised to take care of him, to provide for his needs. And every day while he was there, those ravens came in the morning and in the evening, And every time they came, they were just an object lesson illustrating the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to His Word. He discovered the sovereignty of God. For the Lord said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Realizing that God is sovereign over all things, the very ravens in a time of drought, scavenger birds that needed food themselves, and yet they brought bread and flesh to Elijah at God's command. And when those ravens came every day, Elijah was realizing, I am the servant of a sovereign God. But did he not see the wisdom of God? The Lord didn't send men, nor did he send animals. If he had sent a human being, that person might well have divulged the hiding place where Elijah was. If the Lord had used domestic animals like a dog, the continual journeying, day in, day out, morning time and evening, it would have raised suspicion. And people would have followed the dog or the animal to see where it was going every day. But the flying of the ravens overhead didn't create the same curiosity. People just thought they're feeding their young. They're out searching for food for their young. And yet they were on a divine mission. There's the wisdom of God. And every day Elijah saw God's wisdom. It was a place of learning. But it also became a place of testing. Because in obeying the Lord, he was acting faithfully. And he witnessed God's faithfulness to himself. But as the time passed, the brook suffered the effects of the drought. The force of the water, as the days passed, began to slow up until eventually the brook itself was dried. And that was an amazing test for Elijah. A testing of his faith, a testing of his patience. God had promised to meet his needs, but the brook dried up. What was the Lord teaching him? The Lord was teaching him to trust God and not the means. The ravens were the means. The little brook was the means. But he must learn in the path of his relationship with God and in the path of his faithfulness to God, he must learn not to trust the means, but to trust the one who provides, the one who uses the means, to trust his God. And you'll notice that he doesn't become impatient. He doesn't begin to take matters into his own hands. He simply waits. And even though that little brook is drying up, there will be sufficient provision every day. Until it dries up. And when it dries up, God will provide some other way. Verse number 8 of the chapter tells us, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Notice the past tense. You see, when the brook was drying up, when that means was beginning to run dry, the Lord had already another means of provision in place. I've already sorted it out. Before you even meet the problem, I've already provided the solution. Always remember, the Lord is always ahead of us. He's always ahead of us. He had already provided the need. When the Lord told Elijah to hide, to flee to the brook Cherith, it's not only a command to disassociate from the religious apostasy of the age, not only was it a sign of displeasure towards the nation, withdrawing the spokesman of God, but it became a means of preservation, a place of learning, a place of testing, a place where Elijah saw the Lord in a way that otherwise he would not have seen. Sometimes the Lord's instruction is to hide. And there is a wider purpose in connection with the church and its testimony in this world. But there is also an individual application in such times. Those seasons become seasons when individually and personally we are taught more about the Lord, and our relationship and our fellowship with Him is strengthened and increased. We should never fear when the Lord says to the church, go and hide yourself. There's always a divine reason, and it will always work out for the benefit of the church. Let's turn in closing to